Let's hope not. No, I'm just playing. The Tharps are going to sing, and then we'll preach.
It's been some time since I made up my mind to take him as Lord of my life. I faced some fear and shed many tears, but Jesus has stood by my side. When I hear Satan say, "You're not even saved, you're traveling down the wrong track," I recall once again where grace withstood sin. Down memory's lane, I take him back.
I'll take him back to a time at an old-fashioned meeting when the presence of God filled the air, when the saints were singing of grace and glory, sweet melodies seasoned with prayer. Simple sermon from an old-fashioned preacher was life to a poor dying slave. I walked him down the aisle to a place at the altar where grace fell, and I know I got saved.
I never knew love till it came from above and took his abode in my heart. The sun now shines brighter, my burden is lighter, since Jesus gave me a new start. My song has been changed, my life rearranged, my journey is down a new road. Now when that old accuser tells me I'm a loser, I'm reminded how he lost my soul.
Take him back to a time at an old-fashioned meeting when the presence of God filled the air, when the saints were singing of grace and glory, sweet melodies seasoned with prayer. When one simple sermon from an old-fashioned preacher was life to a poor dying slave, I walked him down the aisle to a place at the altar where grace fell, and I know I got saved. I take him back to a time at an old-fashioned meeting when the presence of God filled the air, when saints were singing of grace and glory, sweet melodies seasoned with prayer. One simple sermon from an old-fashioned preacher was life to a poor dying slave. I walked him down the aisle to a place at the altar where grace fell, and I know I got saved. When one simple sermon from an old-fashioned preacher was life to a poor dying slave, I walked him down at the altar where grace fell, and I know I got saved. I know I got saved.
Amen. That's a crew to get off the platform. That's good. Nehemiah chapter number 8 in your Bibles. If you're there, we'll read several scripture together and give you what the Lord has given me for tonight. I have had this message, messages come from seed thoughts, really just an overflow of the intake. Months ago at this time, I was reading through Nehemiah, and I just come to the Psalms, and so about a month ago or so, this passage of scripture stood out to me. I jotted some things down on a 3x5 card, and went back to it this week, and the Lord gave me a thought that I believe will be a help and an encouragement to you. If anything, it should only be a reminder for you. Maybe it'll be, if anything, a challenge to some of you. But I hope that you'll tune in, hear the Word of God. I don't intend to be long, but I never really do. And so we will preach what the Lord's given me, and I trust that it'll help you tonight. Look at verse number 9, Nehemiah chapter number 8. Verse number 9, the Bible says this, and Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha. Now, do you know what that means? It means the Persian governor or ruler. All right, so a little dictionary will help you if you look it up. Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra, the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, go your way, I love this, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them from whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make a great mirth, because they had, notice this, understood the words that were declared unto them. And on the second day we gathered together the chief of the fathers of all the people, the priests and the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. And they found written in the law which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month, and that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go forth unto the mount and fetch olive branches and pine branches and myrtle branches and palm branches and branches of thick trees to make booths as it is written. So the people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths, every one upon the roof of his house and in their courts and in the courts of the house of God, in the street of the water gate and in the street of the gate of Ephraim. I find that interesting. They heard the word of God, they understood the word of God, and then they applied the word of God to their life. They didn't try to correct the word of God. They didn't say, well, you know, we'll change the type of branches we need to get. No, no, no. They heard that they needed to do this, so they went and did that. That's amazing to me, because Christians today, they like to hear the word of God and read the word of God, but that's not for me. Verse 17, and all the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths and set under the booths, for the since the days of Jeshua, the son of Nun, unto that day had not the children of Israel done so, and there was great gladness. Also, day by day, from the first day unto the last day, he read in the book of the law of God. And they kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day was a solemn assembly according unto the manner. This is an amazing passage of Scripture. These folks are living in the middle of a revival, literally. And it didn't happen because of an amazing church service. Didn't happen because of an amazing message. It happened because day by day by day by day, they heard the word of God for themselves. They read the word of God. They heard the word of God. They understood the word of God. You see in verse number 18, day by day by day by day by day. So tonight, for a little while, I want to preach on that thought, day by day. Our Father, we thank you so much for the truth of your word. God, I pray that you'd help me to relay this message to your people as you give it to me. God, I pray that you'd bless the reading of your word. I pray that you would help it to go forth tonight, lodge it deep in our heart. God, I pray that you would please fill me with your power. I need your help. I need your touch now to preach this message. And so, God, I pray that you would please use it now in Jesus' name. Amen. The Christian life is not built on big moments, but rather it's built on daily movements. Spiritual success does not come by occasional inspiration, but instead it comes by constant dedication. It's not what we do once a week, but what we do day by day by day that determines our strength in our walk with God. In Nehemiah chapter number 8, we find the people of God living in the midst of a revival. They are having a revival among God's people. And it comes to Ezra, the preacher. He reads the word of God. The people respond to the word of God. They had not just heard the words, but they were willing to heed the words that God was telling them. They responded with repentance, and they responded with worship, and they responded with obedience to the word of God. And that's how it ought to be every time that we read the word of God, every time we hear the word of God preached. It ought to bring repentance in our life. It ought to bring an attitude of worship to the Lord Jesus Christ, and it ought to bring about obedience to the child of God. In Nehemiah chapter number 8 and in verse number 18, this is the key verse to why they were experiencing this revival. It says, also day by day, from the first day unto the last day, he read in the book of the law of God. They experienced this church-wide revival, if you will, because they continued in the word of God every single day. They didn't feast on the word for a moment. They made it a daily meal. They didn't just make a decision for Christ, but instead they truly sought to become a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to consider this passage of Scripture and give you a few thoughts about day by day by day. Number one, I want you to notice this, the priority of daily devotion. The priority of daily devotion. Again, it says also day by day, from the first day unto the last day, he read in the book of the law of God. Can I say this? Daily means deliberate. We see that the people of God, Ezra, Nehemiah, the people of God as well, put a priority, a high priority was placed upon the word of God. He read it day by day. Not just a verse here and a verse there, not a weekly overview, but a daily walk with God. They didn't read the Bible occasionally. They didn't read the Bible when they felt like it. They didn't treat the Bible like a snack or an afterthought. Instead, it was a daily priority in their life. Ezra read each and every day. The people gathered each and every day. They didn't schedule God around their lives, but rather they scheduled their lives around God Almighty. What was going on in the Word of God was more important than anything else they had going on in their lives. Don't miss that. Day by day, these people were probably just as busy as you are. They had just finished building walls around the city so that they could build a temple for God. They were busy people, but they faced, but they seen the importance of reading and heeding and hearing the word of God preached day by day basis. Listen, it's important for us to understand that we ought to not just schedule our lives around God, but we ought to schedule God around our lives, but we ought to schedule our lives around God. How often are we guilty of fading out the voice of God, that still small voice, because of the noise of life gets in the way? We take for granted our time with God. Daily means day by day. Daily means deliberate. They placed a high priority. A deliberate decision was made to be in the Word of God every single day. Daily means deliberate, but can I say daily means dependable? This verse teaches us here that consistency overrules intensity. What do I mean by that? It's not what you do once in a while that shapes you. Instead, it's what you do day by day. Let me say that again. It's not what you do just once in a while that shapes you. It's what you do day by day. That can be said in our physical life. If you eat junk food day by day by day, you will be defined and your body will show that you eat a lot of junk food. If you eat junk food occasionally, then you probably won't notice that much of a difference. If you work out occasionally, it will show. But if you work out day by day by day, it shapes you. Do you understand what I'm saying tonight? Listen, you don't become a godly Christian in a weekend. You don't build spiritual muscles in a moment of time. You grow into a mature Christian one page, one prayer, one day at a time, day by day by day. What did Jesus say? He says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. You see, it's important that we understand the priority of daily devotion. May we never take for granted the time. It's got to be a deliberate decision. You have to be dependent. Listen, right now, whenever we go about our day and we live as if this is not important, then we are not making a deliberate decision, but we're also proving that we're not dependable on what God has to say for our lives. Daily devotion is so vitally important. It means deliberate, but daily means that you are dependent upon the Word of God in your life. We see the priority of daily devotion, but notice quickly, number two, we see the practice of daily discipline. The Bible says also day by day, from the first day unto the last day, he read in the book of the law of God. Daily reading wasn't accidental. Instead, it was intentional. Ezra had to open the scroll. The people had to show up to hear it. There was discipline involved. Discipline number one, to read. Discipline to read. Let's just be honest. It takes effort to engage in the Word of God on a day-to-day basis, despite the distractions of life. You have to manage your time. You have to train yourself to find it important to read the Word of God every single day. Because here's the fact of the matter. We make time for what we treasure and value in this life. That's the truth of the matter. If you don't believe that, then don't show up to work tomorrow. And don't call in and don't take vacation time, just don't show up. And your boss will let you know, you should value this. We make time for what we value, don't we? We make time for what we treasure. And so it is, and so it should be with our relationship with the Word of God. You see, it's so vitally important. The Bible tells us about a man in Psalm chapter 1, a blessed man. Psalm chapter number 1, verse number 1, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. In verse number 2, he says, but his delight is in the law of God, and in his word doth he meditate day and night. You know what that means? It means you start the day with God, and you chew on what you got with him all throughout the day. But many times we get up, we're quick out the door, and we never give second thought to the Word of God. That wasn't the case in these people's life. They had discipline to read the Word of God day by day by day. But they not only had discipline to read the Word of God, they had discipline to receive the Word of God. You see, it's good to hear the Word of God. But just hearing it and hearing it alone, it'll do some good. We know the Word of God doesn't return void. But it does far better when we hear and we heed to what God is saying. You see, they didn't just hear the Word of God. Instead, they received it, they retained it, and they responded to it. There's a word in the Bible we don't use a lot in our present language today, but the word is hearken. Hearken. You know what that word means? Hearken means to listen, to attend, to regard. You know what it means? Ultimately, it means to heed what you're reading, what you're hearing. You see, the Bible, it's so vitally important. The Bible is not, I don't read the Bible to defend my position. And that's what people sometimes do. We read the Bible to defend what I want it to say. We try to tailor things to make it say what we want it to say. I want to live this way, so I don't interpret it that way. I don't read the Bible to defend my position. The Bible creates my position. It's got to. The Bible creates my position. My life has to be governed by the Word of God. It has to be. And that's how it was in this text. Look at verse number 12. The Bible says that all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth because they understood the words that were declared unto them. How did they know to do all of that? It's because they read the Word of God, they heard the Word of God, they heeded to what it said, and they put it into practice. Week after week, there is preaching from this pulpit. There is biblical instruction from your Sunday school teacher. You are given the Word of God, and just to sit and to hear it is good. But how much better would it be if we applied it to our life? The Bible says that they rejoiced. Why? Because they understood it. They heard it. They listened. They learned and they lived and they loved the truth of the Word of God. James 1:25 says, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, this man shall be blessed indeed." Oh, it's important day by day by day by day to have the discipline to read the Word of God. But the discipline to receive the Word of God. How many times have we been guilty of reading the Bible but not understanding one bit of what we just read? Right? Come on now, just be honest. Y'all been pretty quiet tonight. I feel like I'm preaching to myself. You read the Word of God and you're like, I don't know what I just read. So we just close it up and we go about our life? That didn't help me any. No. We read it, and if we don't understand, like I didn't understand this afternoon, Tirshatha. Never heard that word in my life. I didn't even know how to pronounce it, but I sound pretty intelligent reading it right tonight. Why? Because I just looked it up. What does that mean? He's a Persian governor or ruler. I wrote it in my little notes right there on the side, so I knew what it was when I was to come up here tonight. Tirshatha. But yet, many times we just read the Word of God. I don't know exactly what that was that I just read, but I'm not going to take the time to look at it because I got other things to do. Come on now, I'm preaching to the choir tonight. I'm preaching to myself. Are we? That's the truth. Instead, we could just take a few more minutes in our day if we prioritize the Word of God as we're supposed to and say, okay, I don't know what that word is. Let me look it up. I don't even know how to say it, so I can type in the word in YouTube, and there is a guy that will speak it back to me. It is. That's how I learned how to say it. But it takes discipline to do something like that. It takes a desire to want to know more. Listen, I don't just read the Bible to check a box. I can't. And you shouldn't either. Listen, save us of this guilting in just to read the Bible to check a box. I'm more interested in people of God that truly want to know what the book says and to live their lives by it. So vitally important. It takes discipline to do that. We see the practice of daily discipline. We see the priority of daily devotion. But notice quickly, number three, notice the power of daily dependence. Look at verse number 18. It's in again. It says, "Also day by day, first day unto the last day, he read in the book of the law of God. And they kept," notice this, "because they read the book of God, they kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day was a solemn assembly according unto the manner." The people didn't just hear the Word of God, they lived it out. They only knew about the Feast of Tabernacles because the Word of God was proclaimed to them. For 7 days, they kept this Feast of Tabernacles. They concluded it on the eighth day with an assembly of the people, just as the law of God commanded them to do so. Can I say, number one, the Word of God changed their walk. Hearing the Word of God transformed their choices. It transformed their habits. It transformed their hearts. And what they learned on day one shaped how they lived their lives on day two. The word just wasn't information, but rather it dictated the formation of how they lived their lives. Matthew 4:4 says this, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God." The Word of God changed their walk. The Word of God fueled their worship. At the end of all of this, the seven feasts of tabernacles, and then the eighth day of the solemn feast, at the end of all of that, and they get to that solemn assembly, the Bible says they reverenced what was going on. You see, at first they were rejoicing, they were celebrating. Because of what they had heard and what they had experienced and how they applied it to their life. And the Word of God teaches us that. It teaches the blessed is the man that walketh not. It teaches joy and it teaches gladness. But it also teaches us how to reverence the Word of God. It says in Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. The people in Nehemiah's day, they didn't have podcasts and they didn't have apps. And they didn't have devotional guides, and I'm not against any of that. All they had was the Word of God. They had the law of God, and they listened to it, and they applied it to their life. And as a result, here's what happened. Their hearts were broken over sin. Their joy was restored. Their worship was revived, and their community was transformed. And it all took place from verse number 18, day by day, from the first day until the last day, he read in the book of the law of God. May we never underestimate the power of consistency. One day in God's Word may change your thinking, but day by day by day in the Word of God will change your life. Amen. That's the truth. Many people start well. Man, January is a great month because we're all on a new schedule. And we all commit, I'm reading the Word of God this year. But by the middle of the month, we've already quit. And you didn't even make it out of Genesis. There's 65 more books. One day does change your thinking, but day after day after day, it'll truly change your life. Listen, these folks didn't come for entertainment. They didn't come to critique the message. Instead, they came to the Word of God because they were hungry to know what God had to say and how does this apply to my life? It's so vitally important. The Word of God, the power of daily dependence. But notice quickly, we see the pattern of God's work. Number four, God often teaches and he often works through repetition. Many times we want God to move in some dramatic moment, but that's not really what God does. He works through daily patterns. Day by day by day, small progress here, there, daily progress. That's how God works, repetition. I listen on the way home from Elgin on Thursday evening. Brother Angel had referenced it in his message, and so it sparked my attention to go back and listen to it. But I listened to the press conference from Thursday morning with the Defense Secretary, Pete Hegseth. And I mean, anybody listen to that press conference at all? Very good. And if you haven't, I encourage you to listen to about 45 minutes long. It's a press conference, and it gives in detail how they came about to the point of going to Iran and sending the bombs that they had to send. It gives in detail, and I love the backstory of all of this. He explained that some 15 years ago, two men were given the responsibility and the task to simply study and to gain intel about Fordo, the fuel enrichment plant, one of the ones that was bombed. For 15 years. They lived and they studied and they gained intel and they would send that back, and their families didn't know what they were doing. Their children didn't understand what they were doing. But day by day by day, for 15 years, day by day by day by day. He said that the B-2 bombers, before the pilots there, they practice day by day, steady, slow repetition to make sure their target was secure and make sure that they were accurate, to make sure that they were precise, slow and tedious repetition. It took 15 years and then a president to say go, and then they did it when the orders were given. Don't you think after 15 years, you'd be a little, man, this is getting a little tiring. We know all that we know. But yet they studied day after day after day after day. It wasn't just on Friday the president says go to Iran. There was day after day after day after day of study and preparation. And that's how it is in God's Word. God often works slow, but He always works sure. Revival didn't erupt. In this passage of Scripture, revival didn't erupt because of one service. It built over seven straight days of reading the Word of God, and it culminated on the eighth day in this gathering that they had. And that's how God works. In creation, He did it one day at a time. And when He fed the children of Israel, He fed them manna daily. When He taught His disciples, He walked with them daily. And that's how He builds each and every one of us in our Christian life. It's not just some dramatic revival service or some youth conference or some one day at camp. I'm thankful for those pinnacle days in the Christian life, but He builds mature Christians day by day by day by day of doing what you know you're supposed to do, and that's reading on the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says this, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Church, if you're feeling dry, if you're feeling distant, if you're defeated spiritually, don't wait for some conference. Don't wait for some revival. Don't wait for the mountaintop. Start today. Open the Word of God. Sit at His feet and do it again tomorrow, day by day by day by day. So important. The pattern God works through repetition. You say, well, I didn't get nothing out of the Bible today. Open it again tomorrow. Amen. And then again the next day. Day by day by day. But then notice quickly, two more, we see the progress of daily transformation. Notice this. The result here is that they kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day was a solemn assembly according to the manner. The Word of God did not just instruct them, it formed them. It shaped their worship. It shaped their obedience. And what happened was, it went from hearing the Word of God to developing different habits. When you hear the Word of God every day, it begins to shape your routine. Sin starts to lose its appeal. Gratitude begins to grow. Conviction deepens, and God's character becomes very real in your life. And you get to the point when you read the Word of God and you hear the Word of God and you do that day by day by day, then you realize you can't live without it. Job said in 23:12, he says, I have esteemed the words of His mouth more than my necessary food. And Job ultimately got to the point that he said, I would rather feed upon the Word of God than eat the best burger out there. We don't eat once a week, church. We don't eat once a day. I try to eat often, and so do you. But why is it that we think that we can just depend on just a couple of days from a preacher preaching the Word of God, we can pin just on that for our necessary food? It's not enough. You will die spiritually. Amen. The Word of God, it's got to be read day by day by day by day. You develop a habit. You develop a routine. And I've said this before, but part of the reason some never develop this walk with God as we're talking about is because you don't have a time and you don't have a place. You don't have a time. Your day is just willy-nilly, man, whatever's next. You don't have a place. You've got to develop that if you're ever going to feel or ever grow into being a strong child of God. Develop habits. Some people come to church for one big breakthrough. They feel as if I can just get to church, then everything will be all right. And I'm thankful that church is so vitally important. We'll preach on that some other time. It is. Church attendance is important. And it does help to come and to hear the Word of God preached, to hear the singing. But spiritual maturity doesn't happen in moments. It happens through movement, and movement happens day by day by day. The Word of God, it's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's not a floodlight. It's just going to light the whole thing up for the next 5 years and I can coast for the next 5 years. No, the Word of God, God gives us enough light for today. And then tomorrow, you know what? The light has went a little bit further and I can see a little bit further down the road. That's how the Word of God is. We want it though. We want just, I'll come to a church service or I'll go to a conference and it's all clear for the next 5 years and I can just coast. And that's why Christians are like this. Their highs are high, but their lows are low. You know the steady Christians, you know how they are? They're like this because they have a steady walk with the Lord. That's what feeds their spiritual maturity. See, God's not interested in moments of emotion. He wants a life of obedience that happens day by day by day. Let me give you the last thought tonight. We see the priority of daily devotion, the practice of daily discipline, the power of daily dependence and the pattern of God's work, but then and then the progress of daily transformation. But lastly tonight, we see the purpose of the daily word. Why did these folks keep coming back? I mean, day by day, didn't they have other things to do? And sometimes we read the Word of God like folks back then wasn't busy like we're busy. Don't we? Ain't nobody as busy as me. Clear the way. I've got the schedule that keeps me so busy. Well, that's your own fault, one. But these folks were busy. Why did they keep coming back? One, sure, they wanted to know what the book said. They wanted to know what the law of God had to say. But more important than that, they wanted to know the lawgiver. See, God's word is not just a textbook of how to live my life. But it is a table where I sit and I meet with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The word of God leads to worship. You see here, what started as reading, then in verse number 12, it went to rejoicing. And then by verse number 18, it went to reverence. And that's what the journey of the Christian life is like. The Word of God reveals God's character. Worship is our response to that revelation that's been given. And the more we read, the more we see God, the more we see Him, the more we worship, and the more we worship, the more we are changed. The Word of God, it leads to worship, but the Word of God points to Christ. The law that Ezra was reading ultimately pointed forward. It pointed to a coming Redeemer we now know as the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that one of His I Am statements, that He is the bread of life, and he that cometh to me shall never hunger. Every time I open the Word of God, I'm not just checking a box. We are truly meeting with the bread. One of the Beatitudes, blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. You say, well, I'm trying, but I miss days. Who doesn't? Right? Take your halo off. Everybody does. It's one of the reasons I love Brother Angel's preaching. It's one of my most favorite. It's because he's very practical and very real. He preached this to the boys at Outdoorsman Camp. He talked about that. He said, hey, it's that same statement. I try, but I miss days. Sometimes we beat ourselves up like I can't pick it back up. And then he made the statement. He said, so do I. He said, but one day never turns into two. Two never turns into three. Hey, you might miss a day. But that's not where you beat up yourself and say, well, I'm done till January of next year. But isn't that what we do? I've missed it all up now. I'm so far behind, I'll never get caught back up. No. You say, Lord, I didn't mean to miss that. And I'll get up earlier than I ever have. I'll stay up later than I need to. Whatever I've got to do to make sure one doesn't turn into two. So I don't ever get nothing out of it. I don't get something out of the Word of God. And can I just say this? You don't always see the seed growing underground, but it is growing. You don't always see that muscle building, but it is, isn't it? And you may not feel different after day one, but you will after day 30. Imagine two men with identical glass jars. Each are tasked with filling up their glass jar one drop at a time. The one fella, day one, day one, day two, day two, day three, day three. This fella says, this is pointless. I got three drops and it's evaporating before to fill up. But the other guy just keeps day four, day 30, day 90, day 120, day 150, day 180, day 210. And before long, his jar is filling up. This guy over here, he stopped. But day after day, his glass filled up with water. And that's the same with your soul. Day one, I didn't see much of a difference. Day two, I'm not really getting nothing. Day 30, man, that's for me. Listen, the victorious Christian life is not accidental. It's cultivated day by day by day. You say, I want to be in the victorious Christian life. I want to live that life as we hear preached about. How do you get over there to that promised land, that Canaan land? I promise you, the mature Christians that you look at and you say, man, if I can be like them when I'm their age, spiritual giants we would call. Chances are, if we were to go, pull back the curtain, look at their life, if I had to guess, there's a daily time that they get along with God. And it may not be 10 chapters a day, but it may be 5 minutes, 10 minutes. You realize if you read 5 minutes of the Word of God, that's about a chapter. You read 5 minutes, you read more than the average Christian in America. It's true. Day by day. You say, where do I begin? Well, Genesis is a good book. Exodus is a good book. Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings. They're all good. There's some that I would say, you might want to stay away from Ezekiel the first week. It's a little deep. But you ought to get to it. I guess tonight the challenge is this. It'd be good if each and every one of us at First Baptist Church would simply fall back in love with our Bibles. Do you at least know where it's at? You don't have to leave it here. Hey, your seat will be saved. I encourage you to take it home. The Word of God. Do you have it marked up? Your children will love that someday whenever you're dead and gone off to heaven. Your children, that'll be a precious, that'll be very precious to them. You mark that thing up. Your grandchildren. The Word of God. It's a day-by-day thing. You say, well, I've failed in this. I started out good, but we're 6 months into the year and I'm off my schedule completely. Throw out the schedule. Something that helps me is I have a daily devotional. I've given it to a couple of you men. I read that devotional. I read the scripture that goes along with it. And I pray. But I do that day by day by day. And I'm no spiritual giant, but I'm a little bit further than I was 10 years ago. So I guess I'm just challenging you, church. Start somewhere. Read the Word of God. It's something different about preaching to folks that have already been filled with the Word of God. Something different about that. I like preaching to anybody, man. I do. Some you got to lay it way down here so that they get it. And I'm okay doing that. But if you'd be in the Word of God, and you kind of know what's coming ahead, you might enjoy it so much more. Your Bible. The message is simply that. Fall back in love with your word, with the Word of God, and read it and heed it every single day. Don't read the Word of God just to try to defend your position. Throw out your position. Let this determine your position. That's the right way to live. Our Heavenly Father, God, I thank you so much for the truth of your word. God, I thank you for